The world we live in can be a strange place, and usually even stranger through the eyes of a magician. Join Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman for their laid-back, no-holds-barred chat about the news, life, movies. In fact, who knows what they will talk about. Grab a drink, buckle up, and get ready for Wizards Whiskey and Waffle.
Hi, guys. We are back, and we did miss last week, so we've got to apologise for that. Mark, are you there?
I am, and I'm embarrassed.
I know.
I've got my tail between my legs, and I feel embarrassed. I feel that people have just been sitting by their computers for the last... When was it supposed to come out?
It was supposed to come out last Tuesday. Now, I will say as well, today... The one you're listening to now, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, is being recorded on Tuesday, which is, it's now 20 past 12. We were supposed to be doing this at 9 o'clock this morning, so it'll be up nice and early. But unfortunately, I had some issues I had to take care of, so we're just recording it now. So I'm literally going to record it, then I'm going to go and quickly edit it, upload it, and then I have to do a live on Facebook for my day job. So this is going to be a, not a rushed one, but it's going to be up there. It's going to be up there today for you guys. But we missed last week. There is a reason why we missed last week, which we'll get into in a moment. And then I've got some things to say about last week's one. But yeah, so apologies we missed it. But Mark, you have been very busy. I've been seeing these posts come up on Facebook about your new special deck of cards that you're working on. So that's one of the main reasons why we couldn't do it last week, because you were actually in a studio filming.
I was in, yeah, I'm very lucky. First of all, can I just quickly say, if I, you obviously, you've got a manic day ahead, so you really want me not to swear or do anything bad that you then have to edit out, because that would just...
If we can do this in one take, that will be amazing.
I will do my best for you. So, no, I'm very fortunate. Ever since I was on BGT, more as X than as myself the previous year, I built a studio in at the end of my house. I've got a studio, and it's called the Area 50 Studio, and it's where I did all the filming. So anybody that has watched X on any of those shows, all of the edit, all of the filming, all the backdrops, all the virtual elements are created in my studio, Area 50 Studio. And so, yeah, last week was filming and bits of editing and content for the 1x500 deck, which has been posted up on my Instagram a couple of times and on X's Instagram as well. It's not just a deck of cards. Effectively, what it is, it's I really wanted to, you know, people, so many people constantly asking for merchandise, and you know me, as ever, it's like a year down the line and X's store is still being finalized, but I always think if I do something, I want it to be worthy. I don't just want to, oh, here's a cup.
Yeah.
You know, there might be cups, but here's a cup. You know, I want it to be things that people go, oh God, actually, I'm really interested in that.
Yeah.
So the 1x500 deck is the first of a number of different things, and it is. It's a deck of cards, but it's more than that. There's only 500 of them that will ever, ever, ever be printed.
Yeah.
So the idea that I wanted to create was I want it to be something that you can collect. It's a collectible. It comes signed and certificated. So it's got that authentication by myself and X. And as I say, only 500 of them. But I sort of developed the cards, and then I thought, you know what? I just don't want to develop a deck of playing cards. And they're all custom designed. My background's in illustration graphic design, so that sort of obviously helped massively.
Yeah.
But then I thought, I really want to include some tricks as well, because I think, you know, when I go out and perform, so many people say, and you must have had this back in the day, I mean, you know, and Harry must get this now, is, oh, I love Matt, is there a trick you can teach me? And you know and I know that a lot of the tricks that we do know are really quite sort of in-depth.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think sometimes, I think the tricks that Joe Public know sometimes are quite basic. And the tricks the magicians know are quite convoluted and in-depth and quite heavy.
Yeah.
But so, I do think there's a, I think there's a middle ground.
Yeah, where, there is.
You know, and that's what I've spent probably the last month and a half just going over tricks and things, some classics that, you know, I've known for years and years and years and years, and researching just other sort of magic tricks that I know that if someone buys this deck of cards, this, well, it's actually a set because you get access, you get the deck of cards, you get the certification, but also you get online access to a portal. So basically it is the studio, Area 50 studio, and it is a full-on teaching with me and X. You get performances. I perform a number of all the effects, 10 effects in total, with X, and then there's tutorials on all of it. You learn how to do all of this stuff, and it is genuinely from, you know, you could be 7 to 70 years old, you'll be able to do these tricks. Yeah. But the really important thing is I've sort of broken them down into two levels. There's level one and level two. A level one trick is a trick that you can watch and kind of go, that's good, and then go, right, tutorial. And then within 15 minutes, you'll be able to perform that trick. You know, obviously with any trick, you've got to remember the process. But in terms of the skill level, you know, a level one trick is you can just 15 minutes, you'll be doing that trick. Equally, there's a level two trick, which is a bit longer, maybe half an hour, you know, maybe a bit more practice, a bit more going over things. And that's how we kind of categorize most of the tricks are level one.
Yeah.
But I realize that some of the people that are buying the deck will be, some of them will have some card ability. They go, oh, you know, I love magic and I know a few tricks already. And for that, the level two tricks are great because you know, you still got to learn a little bit. So it's been a labor of love. It's been something that I've wanted to do ever since X came out last year. I just thought, you know, the X deck of cards always, and just, I've, you know, with work, with everything that's been going on, you know, the lockdown and where we are at the moment, obviously things are starting to open up, but it's been the perfect opportunity. I've got all these notes, and you'll see all of this on the teaser trailer. You'll see I've documented all of the process of me designing the cards, the back design, X's logo, and all the elements that go with it. So, you'll see it all. So, yes, it is a deck of cards, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah,
it
it's more of a little magic set. So anyone that's interested in getting into magic, now these aren't out yet. They are coming out soon, aren't they? So we'll...
They are, yeah. So X's store, well, it's Spellman X store is going to open up, and it'll all be PayPal, shipping everywhere in the world. And that's it. You know, it'll be a place where you can just, you know, go to the store and add the basket and PayPal yourself out. And they're going to be reasonably priced because I want people to be able to buy them, even though there's only 500 of them.
Well, I think we should, at some point in the coming weeks, have a competition for our listeners to win a pack.
That's a good idea, actually. Absolutely. And obviously, your guys at Alakazam as well.
Yep.
I'm, you know, happy to give one there for an Alakazam Live or something like that. You can do a competition to win a deck there as well. So, absolutely.
Brilliant. Absolutely. So we'll chat more about those as well when they're out. And I know they're not far away. The cards are actually ready. It's just a video getting the final touches now.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously for us, the planning of the routines has been going on for about the last 2 months. Like, what is actually going to make the final? I've been making notes for my entire life, you know, about tricks that I think are really good to teach people, you know, and non-magicians, you know, people that maybe don't have a huge amount of skill with cards. But equally on here as well, and it's really important, is that I even go over how to hold a deck of cards, how to deal cards, how to spread them across the table, And I've kept it all refined so that I really, really want people that buy this deck, if they want to collect them and just, you know, put the deck somewhere and it's got the signed certificate and they want to do that with it, that's fine. But I do also want to appeal to, you know, people that might want to go, actually, you know, I'm going to have a look at this portal. You know, I want to check out the Area 50 studio.
Yeah.
And just watch the tricks that Mark does, and, you know, with X, and it's a fun bit of business. And then if they want to learn them, they can learn them. And if they never perform them, you know, they know a few secrets. But if they want to perform them, they can. And I want to make it sort of viable that, you know, with minimal amount of practice, you know, like 7 days later, you could be sitting at your dinner table on the side and then pull out your deck of X cards and do three or four tricks. And your family or your friends are going to go, what happened to you this week? Like, where have you got these powers from? What is going on? So, and I believe that I've managed to do that in the tutorial. I love teaching. So I love performing, but I do love teaching as well. So, you know, hopefully people will get something from it. So yes, it is much more than a deck of cards. A deck of cards is, you know, you can go into, you know, your chemist or your pharmacy and buy a deck of cards for, you know, whatever. But this is much more than that. And there are some specially created gimmicks as well. Yes, that
don't say too I
won't,
much.
No, that's it. I won't say. You'll only find out what they are when and if you purchase the deck. But there's some really clever bits of business in there as well.
Cool. So we'll hear more about those when they're released. I want to say actually a big shout out to Roy, one of our listeners, who sent me an amazing bottle of whiskey.
Oh, no, I saw this picture.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Roy, very nice gesture, lovely, but you're sending this beautiful bottle of whiskey to someone who, I think it was on episode one, openly said, I don't really like whiskey.
Yeah, but
I like
Jack Daniels. He's trying to convert me, you see. Now, I haven't opened it yet because I did say I was going to open it during a Wizards Whiskey and Waffle podcast, but the point is, we're actually filming this at 12:30, so I'm not going to start drinking whiskey now. I've got to go live on Facebook in a moment, so I'm not going to drink it yet, but I am going to open it. It's sitting here right behind me, and it's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Roy. I actually think that you shouldn't open that until lockdown is even less restricted.
And we do it together.
And I can get down, and I can sit in your recording room and enjoy the whiskey and give it a proper review.
Well,
rather
let's
than you
do
going,
that then.
Oh, I want me Jack Honey.
Let's do that then. It's going to remain closed till you're
Thank
here
you.
With me. Right?
Right.
So
good.
I just want to say as well, last week's, not last week's, we missed last week, the week before's podcast.
Last episode.
Yeah, we went into a bit of information about sort of my childhood and my family and my ultra cool brother-in-law. Now, I must admit, like, as I said to you, my brother-in-laws are like my brothers. You know, they've been around me since I was about sort of 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, I've always just known them as brothers, really. But I had a message from one of my sisters who said, just listen to your podcast. I'm crying my eyes out. Jenny was crying upstairs. My other sister, who was married to Colin, said she was crying. Then my nephew, Colin's son, who listens to our podcast, Hiya Mike, listens to our podcast all the time. And he actually sent me, every time we miss one, he sends me a message going, no podcast tonight. He sort of messaged me and said, I'm sitting here on a train bawling my eyes out, like listening to it. So I think it was just sort of so nice to, not that we ever forget him, but to remember him, you know. And I did mention there was, you know, he had the Starsky and Hutch car, and I did put the pictures up on our Facebook page. So if you haven't seen them yet, pop over there and have a look at the pictures of my ultra cool brother-in-law's car, because it was amazing. You imagine being a sort of 6-7-year-old kid and being driven to school in that.
Yeah, you know? It's like turning up to school in the A-team van or something like that. It's like,
it
you know,
amazing.
On my side or that. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Amazing. So, lockdown is starting to ease, and me, Jenny, we had Holly come to stay. Holly's my daughter and she lives in London, but she came to spend a couple of weeks with us, and she was working from home, but working from here. And Jenny decided to book a restaurant for Thursday night. So it was our first time out anywhere like that since lockdown. And do you know what? It was a really nice experience. Really good. I know you haven't really been out. You're the same as me. We don't really want to go out that much, but it was actually really, really nice. They handled it really well.
Yeah, if I were going to go somewhere, a restaurant would be probably it. I just don't think I'd go to a pub yet. I don't go to pubs or, you know, that often, but like nightclubs or anything like that. I know they're not open yet, but yeah, I tell you what it is with me. I think back in January, February, March, when this was all in its infancy, you know, there was like, oh, there's some cases of coronavirus. We need to be really careful. The numbers are picking up a little bit. We need to be careful. And then all these measures come into place. And for me, where it seems a bit strange is that we're still not coronavirus free.
No.
You know, there are still cases that are coming up. There are still people that are very sadly still passing away. And it's almost like we've become, not through our own fault, I think the media seems to have eased off on it a lot. I think the information about it has eased off a lot. And I know you can't keep on going on about these things, but it is still out there.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I worry about what is happening going forward. Like Isabella has only just started to go back to nursery.
Yeah.
And the first day that she went back, me and Tessa were sitting down, like, what do we do? And we've got a little WhatsApp group with some of the other parents, and we all had the same concerns. How is it going to be? You can't social distance children and this kind of thing, you know? So there was all those elements. Now, fortunately, you know, they've made the classes smaller. You can only go in for 2 days of the week. So you can either choose to go in on a Monday and Tuesday or a Thursday and Friday. So it's up to you which you choose. And what they do is they have a massive clean on the weekend, and they have a clean midweek on the Wednesday when it's closed to anyone. So when you start to hear those restrictions are in place and there is this sort of, you know, you feel as though, right, obviously people's hygiene levels are way up. You know, we're all being very careful. We're not breathing in each other's faces. Everyone's washing their hands. And the first sign of illness, we're all kind of on it. And I think that's good. I think that's a good thing. And that's a good way of trying to maintain, keep this thing at bay, if you like.
Yeah.
But I do sort of worry, because I do think there seems to be, there's sort of three camps. Camp number one is where they are still super, super paranoid. And rightfully, paranoid is the wrong word. Super, super cautious.
Yeah. Super.
And then you've got those people in the middle that are kind of like, I guess I need to be careful, but then I kind of have got to get on with life. And then you've got some people that are what was all that about, that big fuss over nothing? And that's where I think I'm sort of in the middle and a bit more cautious.
Yeah, well, been speaking, I've just had a Skype come through from a mate of mine in America who's just said, mate, COVID is getting so much worse over here, not better. We're heading for another big shutdown.
Right.
You know, it's really strange. But like you said, I think the lack of it on the news, and we don't want to keep going on about it, but the fact is, it is still there. But I know I've got another friend who lives in Arizona, and I remember speaking to him a couple of months ago and saying, you know, how's everything out there? And he said, to be honest with you, Peter, it hasn't really hit Arizona. We're pretty okay. You know, everything's just sort of, yeah, the shops are shut, but everything's sort of running as normal. There aren't a lot of cases. And since they started opening back up, that's one of the worst hit areas.
Yeah.
And they didn't hardly have any cases at all to speak about when the rest of us were getting them. It is still very worrying. Even with the shop, like my shop, I'm in no rush to open those doors. Like, yeah. Literally, we're still doing mail order, which is working really well. But I'm in no... I can't see me opening the doors this side of Christmas. I'm in no rush to do it.
Yeah, no. And I think, and that's really... I mean, obviously, your business, that's a real advantage. Because, I mean, the power of your business is so much of it worldwide online, which is obviously a great place to be. I think the social aspect of your shop is something that I think a lot of your customers and I love. You know, like even when I used to just come down just to hang about for the day, you know, with no projects or anything like that, you know, just to hang around in the shop and just talk magic and talk nonsense and almost do what we're doing now,
yeah.
But in the shop while you're trying to work, you know, is a nice element. And I actually imagine that obviously a lot of the local customers that would come in, and I mean, you'd have magicians that would travel from overseas and yeah. specifically come into the shop. They make a journey down to Alakazam.
Yeah.
And obviously those elements can't happen, but Tess has only just opened up. She opened up her doors yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Day.
But I mean, cause I'm able to help out. We couldn't get builders and people to come in and do all fixtures and fittings, but fortunately I can do that. So, yeah. You know, we did a lot of changes into the clinic. So things like just completely orchestrating where just stock is kept, where rooms are and the distance between clients, even when they're in the separate treatment rooms, and just hand sanitizers everywhere. I mean, just all over the place, the electric ones, battery powered ones that you can just automatically get your hand sanitizer everywhere.
Yeah.
Then we've got barriers outside, so you have to queue to get in one way, exit the other way. We've got the social distancing markers outside on the pavement, inside the shop. All of the team, all the staff wear full face visors and masks.
Right.
Every client that walks in has to wear a mask. It's compulsory. Because some of our clients are elderly, and we don't want any of the team getting anything, and we just want people to come into the clinic and for it to be the safest environment, like safer than them.
Yeah.
Almost walking down the street. Everything is so sterilized.
That's my thinking with the shop as well. It's like, why should I even try, not try, but why should I even want to put anyone at risk when it's not needed? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different. Like you said, we are quite lucky because 95% of our business is online anyway, so it isn't a major hassle. But it is quite scary that it hasn't gone away, even though we're not hearing about it. And Ashford, where I live, I don't know if you're aware, but we're one of the top three hotspots in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And we have been for a long time, but we're not hearing it. It's only when you see these odd polls and other people pointing it out to me, but you would think it would be on the local news or something.
Yeah,
but it isn't.
Of course
we're not.
Well, you know, were you talking about America? I mean, it's interesting because obviously things like with like BGT, I know that there's because I was on the show for 2 years running, I've got a few sources from the show. So Amanda Holden put a post up, so I'm not sort of spilling any beans that no one knows, but there is talk about the semi-finals. I spoke to one of the producers
who was it put the post up.
Amanda Holden, she put a post up. Oh, sorry, is that a name drop? Yeah, no, but I haven't. No, but that's me just looking at Instagram. That's not me saying that I've met her. Well, I have met her. I actually cuddled Amanda Holden dressed as X. At that point, she had no idea that it was me.
I forgot I had the name drop thing. I haven't used it for a while.
Whatever. But yeah, no. So I know some of the producers on the show, because obviously I was on there twice and stuff. So I've got my sources. But apparently, you know, there's talk about the semi-finals being without an audience. And I think we mentioned this before in a previous one. It's, for the comedians, that's going to be strange. I watched America's Got Talent. They've got the episode's still airing, and there's a young guy, I think Howie Mandel gave the golden buzzer, and he's the poet, and it's a really strong piece. It was really unusual, really strong, really poignant piece of poetry. about his life, and I think it's about his sister who passed away. And Howie Mandel gives him the golden buzzer, but there's no audience. And it is the weirdest thing. It's just, there's no, you know, like, you know what it's like? I mean, the audience is, when I was on AGT Champions, it's like they are hyped, you know, they're really hyped up for a good night. And but now, because I think of the it's getting worse, now if you watch AGT, they're actually doing auditions via webcam. So all the judges are not even in a studio now. Now they're all at home and they're watching submissions via webcam. And I got I've been asked to do Penn and Teller's Fooler a number of times. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't kind of worked out. You know, there's been, you know, like just last year as X, they asked me to go and do it as Spellman, but then I was heavily focused on X last year and just, it wasn't going to happen. And then they asked me if I would go on as Spellman and X, and then schedules didn't work out late last year. And now they're doing the next season and they've asked me if I would do it this season. But this one, they've said, because of the situation, it would be a webcam. It would be, I think it's a pre-recorded performance. I don't know how this works with Penn and Teller, because you sort of think, like, obviously you can CGI and edit and, you know, how's it going to work? But yeah, I don't know if it's something I'd rather, you know, to be honest with you, I love Penn and Teller and I'd much rather go out and do it properly.
I mean, I know it's something different, but there's a new show starting. I don't know if you've ever watched Celebrities Go Dating, but it's like,
I have.
Yeah, well, they're doing it, Celebrities Go Internet Dating.
Right, and
you think,
okay.
Oh, you know, it's...
Do you know what it is, though? I do feel for the TV industry because they're fighting for content. You know, it's like, how do we do this? One of the things that I thought was really interesting was the football. Now, obviously, you and I are not really football people. I know Harry's really into his football and a lot of our friends are. But, you know, you can... I think on Sky, you can have the... you can have the crowd noise on or off.
And do you know what? I watched a match with Harry the other day and he had the sound on and you wouldn't... He tried listening to it or watching it with the sound off and it just feels odd. But with the sound, they're doing the sound so well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a humming crowd
It's like it builds up. So they've obviously got like a soundboard, I guess.
Yeah.
So as they make their way towards the goal... They kind of go, all right, oh, they're getting excited, do the excited button, and they must press that. And go, oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. And you sort of, it's like everything. It's one of those really weird things where you get accustomed to the noise that you don't realise it's there until it's not.
But do you know what I think is really funny? Is there's two things that I've always loved doing. Whenever I watch a programme, I love, because I used to be an extra years ago. And I don't know if we... Oh, yeah, we talked...
We spoke about your porn shoot.
Sorry. And I will find the clips for that. I have got them. I've got all my extra clips. So we can put up a montage of Spellman's extra clips. But it's watching extras in the background of programmes. Because imagine if you watch the Queen Vic on, like, EastEnders or something like that, or the... the pub, oh God, what's it called in Coronation Street? I can't even remember.
Oh my God, I used to watch it all the time. Rover's Return.
Rover's Return, there you go, right? So if you imagine those sort of scenes, right, what happens is they are silent, right? So everyone in that pub, you're not allowed to make any noise as an extra. So if you and I were extras on the set of EastEnders in the old Vic, Queen Vic, we'd be in the background and we'd just be miming, going, you know, it's really bad to mime on a podcast, but, you know, miming. So we're just sitting there like, you know, talking and having a sip of our drink, like we're in deep in conversation, but nothing is coming out of our mouths. So then what happens is you only hear the lead actors that are talking, you know, sort of like, you know, Peggy or whoever. You can tell how long ago it is I watched EastEnders, right?
Yeah.
But then they put all of the sounds on afterwards. So, you know, like the fruit machines or the jukebox and the clinking of glasses, everything is added afterwards. So when I used to do extra work, you kind of, you do whisper to each other, but really quietly. And we'd have the most stupidest, like there was one guy that I used to be an extra with quite a lot on this program on Channel 5 years ago. And on that one, we just insult each other. So we'd be saying, well, you could have made an effort, right? And we know what we're talking about. No one else is ever going to hear it, but it's just funny watching it back. So so that's one thing. But also, you talking about how you get accustomed to sound, it's like canned laughter.
Yeah.
So when you watch a comedy program, if you just actually pay no attention to the program, just listen to the laughing, it really then freaks you out because you hear someone go, whoa, 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 in the background. You go, oh my God. But because you're watching it as one thing, psychologically, the laughter is just background noise.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're talking about. Now, I'm a big fan of boxing. So boxing is coming back. And the way that they're doing the boxing is with no audience.
Right.
Now, they're basing this off of the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Again, something else that I watch. They've done the same thing, but they haven't put the crowd noise in.
Yeah.
So it is a bit different. It does sound like you're watching a training session.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I was talking to another friend of mine about the football, and he was saying, when you watch it without the sound, the noise on, you can hear the players.
Yeah.
Man on, John. Yeah. John, man on. Pass it. John. I wasn't here, mate. You know? And it just sounds like they're having a game at the park on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I get why they put the noise in. And I've seen a bit of it, and I kind of go, yeah, he's better with the crowd noise.
Yeah, and they do it really well. I remember once, like, I don't know, I was about 13 or 14 when we used to have, you used to have a bloke that drove around in a van who used to rent out pirate videos, and
I don't condone
don't. I obviously don't, but I remember being around one of my mate's house and he had a pirate video of something, and I remember halfway through thinking there shouldn't be canned laughter on this, and it was obviously back in the day where they filmed it in
a cinema.
And you're watching like an Arnold Schwarzenegger blockbuster or something, and you just hear these people laughing.
Yeah, some people get blown up, and people are going.
It's just like really weird, but yeah, no, the sound is, especially with the football, they are doing it really well. I thought it was going to be rubbish, but you.
No, it does work.
It really works.
Yeah.
Really
absolutely
works.
It is concerning. It is worrying about where all this is going to go and if we're going to have a second spike and that kind of thing. But I just think, you know, all we can do really is you kind of prepare, you know, be cautious, you know, put precautions in place, prepare and plan if this does happen again. And to be really honest with you, now that this has happened in my life, I mean, I know we've had SARS and things like that, but this is the first one that really seems to have affected us in our everyday lives, you know?
Yeah.
And I think now that this has happened, I think I will always, you know, you learn. And I think going forward, I think magic-wise, I mean, obviously, lots of magicians doing Zoom performances, these online performances, and coming up with some really, really clever stuff. And I've done a few, and there's talk of me doing some really sort of major, big ones for an Indian market.
Right.
Had a sort of conference call with my agent and doing these sort of big Zoom shows that we'll actually hire a studio for. My studio here is, you know, I could do it from the studio here, but they're talking about, the only problem is they're talking about bringing professional camera crews in with big broadcast cameras so that this becomes this big thing. So who knows? I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things that are floating about at the moment as possibilities. But it is creating this new kind of form of performance, and I thought to myself initially, is that something that I'd want to do? And I have done a few, and now that I've kind of done a few of them, if you said to me, Mark, could you do a 3.5-hour Zoom performance? I'd go, I can do six.
Yeah.
There's so much material that I've researched.
Yeah.
That I know that I could do, but I think for an audience watching on a camera at home, for me, I'm trying to sort of aim my performances at being maximum 30 to 40 minutes in duration. But it's strange how things are adapting, you know, it really is. But
well, I'm thinking for our next podcast, I'm going to try and get us a special guest in who is not a magician. I've got someone in mind. She is a creative, and I'll be quite interested to hear how this has affected her as well. So I'm going to look to see if I can get her on for the next one so we can sort of interview her, and it will be good to get another perspective, because I think we should start, we mentioned it before, getting the odd guest on, because this is affecting us all in different ways. And one of our episodes upcoming, I want to talk about conspiracy theories.
That's going to be massive. That's going to be massive. With that one, that has to be a whole episode.
Yeah. Because, do you know
honestly,
what?
I can talk about that for hours.
Yeah.
Everyone's going, Mark, you can talk about anything for hours.
I've actually got a little bell I've just seen on the table. You could most probably speak about that for hours if you wanted to. But do you know what? I heard this thing the other day, which isn't a conspiracy theory. It is actually true.
Go on.
And it sort of freaked me out a bit. Do you know Kevin Spacey, obviously? And you know what he's what he's going through, what he's been accused of, and this, that, and the other.
Yes.
Do you know three of his accusers in a year died suspicious deaths?
Really?
Yes. Look it up. That is...
I know.
Yep. One of them got run over, and two of them committed suicide, apparently. So, on that bombshell...
Have a great week, everyone. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
But it's weird, isn't it? I've been... During the lockdown, I've just been on YouTube all the time, usually just looking up Trump and what he's up to. Just, to see what amazing things he comes out with. But I also look at different things. And this thing just, I found this comedian online, Alex Schlutz.
Right.
And an American sort of comedian that's doing these sort of videos about politics and Black Lives Matter. And he done one on... Ghislaine Maxwell and stuff like that. So I've been watching him, and it was during one of his things he brought this up, and I thought, nah, it can't be true. And I looked it up, and it is true.
I'm going to have to look this up now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this. Any viewing recommendations that you want to throw out there before we... Because I'm going to throw a film at you.
Oh, okay. I've just watched a trilogy of films, but carry on.
No, okay, right. I want you...
Mm-hmm.
To watch this film, was it called? Oh, there you go. right, it's on Amazon Prime, and I think if you've got Prime membership, it's free. But it's called Midsommar, right? MID, not summer.
I started watching that, and I couldn't get into it. Should I watch it again?
Wait, is this the one where they go to sort of like the commune?
Yeah. And there's the bit on the cliff right at the beginning. It's a bit where they jump off.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give it another go.
No. But let me just pre-warn you.
Right.
It's a strange film, okay? And I'm just going to tell you this. I've seen some strange films in my time, okay?
It reminded me a bit of the Wicker Man type.
Yes. I think that this goes... Yeah, actually, that's a good example. I think this goes beyond that. And when you get to the end of this film, I remember me and Tessa just looked at each other and went, what? And it got so weird that we just carried on watching it. Now, I am not saying this. Anybody listening, I do not want to have comebacks on this. I wasted an hour and a half of... If you want to go on a weirdo, strange adventure, film-wise, watch Midsommar, S-O-M-M, I believe it's E-R.
Yeah.
On Amazon. It is with the girl that plays the lead, super cute. She was in a wrestling film.
Right.
Fighting with the family, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, 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 I remember that.
And I loved that. I thought it was a great true story about a young girl who goes to the, was it WWE or...
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever it is in America. Really good film. So that one's a really good feel-good family film, fighting with the family or fighting for the family. But this one, Midsommar, that's my recommendation for the week, but prepare to be weirded out. Do not watch it with children.
Well, I'll give that another go, but I've just recently watched the sort of Rob Zombie trilogy, which was House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and Free from Hell, which...
Okay.
And I started really getting into it and Rob Zombie, and then I sort of watched, because Rob Zombie done two Halloweens as well, sort of remakes.
Okay.
Or not remakes, just a reimagination of the story sort of thing. But they had a full episode on YouTube where they show you the making of Halloween, which I always find the making of stuff really fascinating. I'm really interested in all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting with the Rob Zombie trilogy, how, like, the first one, House of a Thousand Corpses, is basically the typical wrong turn type horror. You know, four okay. guys turn up at a house, which is, you know, this mad family that, you know, just kill people for fun. So it starts off like that. So that happens in the first one. The second one, the people who done the killings got, did they get arrested in the second one? Oh, well, the weird thing is, by the time you get to the final one, you actually really like the killers. you sort of empathize with them and you want them to win. It's
not
really
bad after all.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. And it's a right shame because there's this old actor in it, and he plays a character called Captain Spaulding, and you really become, like, the first one, not so much. They're really sort of horrible people, like really horrible. In the second one, you sort of connect to them a little bit more, and you sort of, the humour starts to come through, and you sort of quite enjoying their characters. And in the third one, you're really backing them to win. But this Captain Spaulding, who's this old guy, this old actor, he's in the first one and the second one, and he's only in the third one very, very briefly. And you sort of miss him. And then I sort of looked up what happened to him, why, because you could actually see there was a big difference in his look. I mean, he was a big guy in the first one and second one. And then in the third one, he's just like, he must have lost something like 5 stone. He just right. looks drawn and everything else. And I looked it up and they said, you know, unfortunately, when we come to filming the third one, he was so ill that they weren't even going to allow him on set. They weren't going to insure Aww. Him or anything else. But Rob Zombie sort of begged for him to at least be in it for a scene or two so they could write him out and he could be part of it. But you really feel for, you know, not only the characters, not so much, but the actors that play them, you sort of get attached to them and you want to see them do well. But that was the trilogy I've just watched. And if anyone likes horror, I would say watch them, the Rob Zombie ones, the House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and, of course, the final one, which is Free from Hell. But that was my viewing from... For the last week
you do like a horror film, and actually, do you know what? You actually last little link here, and that is with Kevin Spacey, who you mentioned moments ago.
Mm.
At the end of Seven,
yes,
he gives. I mean, listen, what he's accused of, and all the things that are happening, and with Kevin Spacey, obviously, you know, really, really bad. You can't take away from the fact that he is a good actor, and in Seven, when he does his monologue in the back of the car about why he's committed all those heinous murders, you kind of do start going,
yeah,
there is some sort of weird twisted logic to what he's saying, which is really clever. And I guess in a way that, you know, not that dissimilar from what you're saying about, you know, what, really rooting for murderers.
Yeah, well, so, there's a program on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's called You, and it's about a stalker who ends up killing people. But with him, you end up, he's sort of the anti-hero in there. You're backing him all the time. It's really weird. Like, not the first few episodes, but
I'm a bit worried about you in lockdown, Pete. You're kind of like, you know, let's go, kill
him. And also, let me just point this out. The reason I mentioned Kevin Spacey when I talked about conspiracy theories is because about a year ago, I've never watched it, but there's a program he's in. What's it called?
House of Cards.
That's it, House of Cards. And he plays this character.
Yeah.
Now, there's a video he's put up on Facebook, YouTube, about a year ago. So obviously all this stuff is still going on, right? But there's a video that he's put up on Facebook as him as that character giving a sort of monologue about things that are happening to him. And you don't believe... That's the thing. Is it... Or isn't it?
This is Kevin Spacey.
This is Kevin Spacey doing it as the character, but saying, you know, things have been happening to me. Do you believe it? Are you the type of person? But it's sort of, yes, you could flip it either way. Either he's talking about the character or he's talking about him as the character. But there's a couple of weird moments in it. One of them, he is drinking out of a cup, which is from Buckingham Palace. There was a photograph released of him with Ghislaine Maxwell, I think, sitting on the thrones in Buckingham Palace. So there's this big conspiracy theory going around. And at the end of the monologue, he puts on a ring, which people believe is a Masonic ring. And people were saying that he's trying to get a message out there. It's a really weird conspiracy theory, but...
I'll send you the link to this monologue. I'm going to go down this rabbit hole.
But I think it will be interesting if we do one of these podcasts in conspiracy theories, because the fact is, when there are some really good ones, and we're not just talking about... I mean, I remember watching... and it's not a conspiracy theory, it was just a fake, which was the Ripper Diaries. There was a program on about this diary that was apparently found in a house move. And there was a TV show about it, which was narrated by Michael Winner back in the day. And it ended up, I think it was proved to be a fake. But when... you watch the program and they justify everything through it, you think whoever put this fake together is a very clever man, because they have made connections that no one else has made and created stories around weird things to do with Jack the Ripper. So there's so basically this diary was supposed to belong to one person who was a suspect in the Ripper case anyway. But what they've done is, I don't know if you ever remember, there is one of the photographs from one of the Ripper murder scenes was a woman in a bed and there's all blood on the wall behind her, and it's
Mary Kelly.
Yeah, and it's that picture. But this guy says he's written in his diary, and it's all written like it would have been in the time, and you know, the imbeciles will never catch me. They didn't even see my initials on the wall. And when you look at that picture, you actually see the initials of this man on the wall written in blood. Now, obviously, it's just a happy coincidence, but whoever has written that diary has really researched it and made it extremely plausible.
See, you know what? That's really interesting. Now, so I've got all this stuff that I'm going to start looking up now, and I've got more filming and more edit. X is waiting for me in the studio. I can't believe it. But I sort of think, imagine if you were like researching that. Imagine you were fascinated with that. Just
a ripperologist, they're called.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So you're not that you want to fake it, but let's just imagine you start this journey out going, I really want to try and work it out. I'm fascinated with it. And you dive in deep.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where you kind of hit a bit of a brick wall. And you kind of, and then at that point, you would then be equipped with so much knowledge that to now kind of go, actually, do you know what? If I take that bit I know, do you know what I mean? For us looking in as non-ripperologists, we kind of go, God, what extensive amount of work. But yeah, once you realize that, like, these people that have really studied it and know what they're talking about, you know, it's possible, you know. So
do you know what? This has just reminded me, we know the person who did the alien autopsy video.
Of course.
We need to get him on the podcast.
There you go, Spiros.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys, if Mr. you ever, Malera. Yeah, if you ever saw that alien autopsy video that was out in the 80s or the 90s?
I think it was the 80s, wasn't it? And then Ant and Dec did a film on it that was, Spiros will tell us all about that, but he actually did a talk at the Magic Circle, Spiros. He's a very clever guy, really. Just for those people that don't know, Spiros, and we'll find all this out if we can get him on, he worked at the BBC for a while, didn't he? And so he had a lot of knowledge on...
He had his own studio. He had his own TV studio. And he actually put on a show about this a couple of years ago in Leicester Square, and I got Harry and Holly tickets. And they said it was amazing. Like, the lengths they went to make this
brilliant.
Alien Absolutely autopsy brilliant. Appear...
That's a great guest.
I'll shoot him a message after this and see if we can get him on as a guest, because this will be so interesting. So, Mark, we are now at 51 minutes, so we're going to have to start wrapping up now.
That's fine. Listen, sorry to everyone listening. Apologies for not being able to make it last week. Obviously, you know, things are sort of so crazy and up in the air, but hopefully you've gotten a mixed bag of things today. And also as well, I like to think that maybe I did 60% of the talking and Peter did 40%. So we're just trying to work out that ratio a bit more, because I do realise some of the episodes are very sort of 95 me, 5 Peter. So I am trying to give them a bit more airtime. But let's just remember who the star is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, whatever.
That's why I let you talk.
Yeah. So, but yeah, cool. All right. Well, listen, we're not going to be late next week. No. We are going to be back on time, and I look forward to catching up with you then.
Brilliant. Right. Thanks for joining us, Mark. And guys, remember, our Facebook page is out there. So if you have heard of any good conspiracy theories, point us in the right direction, because we are going to have, I reckon it's going to be a couple of episodes scattered about on conspiracy theories. So it will be good for us to investigate any conspiracy theories that you point out to us, things that maybe we haven't heard before. And it will be interesting to have a look and discuss them. But I'm going to try and see if I can get Spiros to join us, because I think he'll be an amazing guest. And I know the story, when I heard it, is absolutely fascinating, how he got Kodak to basically agree that the film was from the right time, and how he got the autopsy equipment and everything else. It's just a fascinating story. So we'll see if we can get him on board for one of these. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. Mark, thanks for joining us. I will speak to you again on our next one.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Take care, everyone. And we will see you on the next Wizards, Whiskey and Waffle podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Wizards, Whiskey and Waffle podcast with Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and subscribe. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.